Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, our politics website. It'sfreecountry.org is now the place for smart coverage of the 2012 presidential race. Right now on the site, see Anna Sales' video series on independent voters. 2012 is starting now at itsfreecountry.org. Well, in a New York courtroom this morning, sexual assault charges are expected to be dropped in the case against former head of the IMF, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, as you all know, in connection with an encounter between him and a housekeeper at a Midtown hotel. But as the legal drama apparently ends, the meaning of the incident still poses questions. You heard Letitia James just before the break. And this is not the only legal action against Strauss-Kahn involving behavior around women. Or, conversely, how does an innocent man get his reputation back? The serial lying of the housekeeper to prosecutors that they now describe as her being an effective drama queen. Did D.A. Cy Vance blow this case from the start? And more. With us now, our legal analyst, Jamie Floyd, who's also an It's a Free Country blogger and frequent guest host of this show, like in the last 2 weeks, and Slate national correspondent, Will Salatan. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Will.
Hey, Brian.
Jamie, you there? All right, we'll get Jamie's line up. Will, you're not a lawyer. Jamie is, but you question in Slate today whether the charges really should be dropped?
Yeah, I mean, whether they should be dropped is a legal question, and I can't necessarily speak to the legal standards of that. But when you read this motion that the DA has filed, what it looks to me like is actually a repetition of their original mistake. That is, they issued an indictment against Strauss-Kahn based on flimsy and, in some cases, unsubstantiated claims. They regret that, and now they issue, as they retreat from that, what is in effect an indictment of the accuser, in which they have woven together what they claim are various lies into a portrait of, as you put it, a serial liar. And that just doesn't stand up to close scrutiny.
She's not a serial liar, in your opinion, your reading of the sequence of events?
Well, they have sort of, in some cases, exaggerated, in other cases, made claims without providing any evidence for them. The notion that that various things that could be interpreted as innocent errors or the kind of thing that a witness commonly slightly changes an account in a story. And in other cases, things like, a phone call, which they, originally described in a way that they now essentially no longer claim it was the way they described it. So they've put this stuff together into a portrait, and it is either in some cases exaggerated or in other cases seems just not to be true.
Jamie Floyd, as a lawyer, do you think that D.A. Vance blew this case maybe in both directions, is what Will is saying, that maybe he swung too wide at the beginning and now he's swinging too wide the other way to show that he really needs to dismiss the charges?
Well, I think prosecutors in this country increasingly have a bad habit of trying their cases at the podium and in the media and not quietly and in the courtroom. I said at the beginning, Brian, and I think it was on this show, and certainly I did say it on It's a Free Country in not the current post I have up, but in a previous post, mm-hmm. that it was a mistake to step to the podium and vouch for the case and the credibility of the accuser even before the DNA material could be tested. And it's not just D.A. Vance. This is a common occurrence in high-profile cases and even not-so-high-profile cases across the country. So that was a mistake. I'm less concerned about the motion papers, though I think Williams' piece is well taken in various points, because that is a legal proceeding, and then we can, as journalists, feel free to pick it apart. But I do think that if we would be more considered in the way we try our cases, both on the defense side and certainly as prosecutors, the ones who are supposed to be seeking justice, cases might not fall apart as this case has, and certainly we'll remember the fantastic example of the Duke LaCrosse case.
Listeners, everybody's following the DSK case and everybody has an opinion about it, so call up and tell us what you think is important here. We're not going to dwell on it all morning, but we'll do this for a few minutes. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Have you felt yourself, perhaps, just as a regular person, battered back and forth, maybe, you know, having yourself manipulated by the prosecutor in one direction and then in the other direction, or maybe more by the defense? Who are you angry at? And what do you think the lessons of this case are for women's rights, for defendants' rights in sexual assault cases? 212-433-WNYC, anything you want to say, with Jamie Floyd and Will Salatin from Slate, 212-433-9692. Will, on the other hand, some people make the argument that Vance has actually acted properly throughout, that you had a credible-sounding accusation at the time of the incident with the alleged perp, a foreign national sitting on a plane about to fly away with little chance of being extradited back here if he was charged. Now that they've had more time to investigate the details, they're doing the right thing again by dropping the case, the argument goes.
Well, you know, if you go too far, then you have to roll way back. The question is whether you needed to go that far in the first place, as Jamie's saying. There's a lot of dispute among in legal circles about whether they needed to bring the indictment when they did. They sort of rushed that process through, and now, of course, they're saying that in the course of rushing that through, they got some false testimony from the accuser, and that probably could have been handled differently, which might not have resulted in that alleged false testimony. I would say even if they ended up in the right place, depending on your point of view, they didn't need to go as far as they did and then roll back as hard as they did in order to get there.
So, Jamie, is there a way legally that he could have been detained and investigated in some more quiet way, but let's say prevented from leaving the country, or maybe the charges didn't have to be brought so quickly, without the full force of the prosecutor's rhetoric against him being unleashed as if he was a guilty man?
This whole notion that he could not be extradited is a bit of doublespeak on the part of prosecutors. This is not a man whose identity was unknown to us. This was an internationally famous man with ties to the United States. His daughter lives here, after all.
France wouldn't have resisted? That's the common assumption.
There might have been some international complications, but I agree with William, and I agree with most legal analysts to date who've said that the prosecutor rushed. I understand the pressure they felt at that moment, but I think, frankly, they were in over their heads. This was not a case in which they needed to panic, which is, I think, essentially what they did. The man was well known in international circles. He was not some unknown persona that who could not be found or tracked down, who would not be called to answer. And I agree entirely that the rush to a grand jury led to all of the missteps thereafter, including pressure on the accuser to make the misstatement she then made before the grand jury. Now, these aren't the only falsehoods that she's alleged to have made, but I think they're the most damaging to the case. Lying to the grand jury would certainly be great fodder for the defense on cross-examination at trial. So certainly they should have been more deliberate in the investigation, and then they would have decided how and whether to try the case and charge the case.
Bill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, why is it that her lies become so important when it's clear DSK has issues of lying in his background? We have two women in France who have said that they were attempted rape against them. Why isn't that at least mitigating evidence for the defense to go forward and to say, okay, in both cases, let the jury decide?
But now those cases, Will, are at this point unsubstantiated as well, right? We don't know that those women are telling the truth, so we can't say at this moment that he's lying about those alleged incidents.
No, you can't. I mean, as a legal matter, you can't. The French case is being investigated in France, and you know we'll hear more about that later. But it certainly is true as a social matter that the more women who stand up and say this guy did this to me, the more, as a matter of common sense, you start to wonder whether he's the one who's not telling the truth.
But Brian, please let me address that as a legal matter. As a legal matter, even if those women were in the United States, it would not necessarily come in and probably would not come in as a matter of law. In this case, she is the only witness who could testify on the central allegation in this case that Strauss-Kahn forced her to perform oral sex. case. And therefore, her credibility is key for the prosecution's case. And the prosecution has an extremely heavy burden. They have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this man is guilty of an extremely serious felony. The entire case rests on her credibility, and the jury has to then believe beyond a reasonable doubt that she's telling the truth. So they have a duty to go forward only in cases where they believe that the complainant is telling the truth.
Philip in Rego Park, you're on WNYC. Hello, Philip.
Yeah, I have a question. What if the road reverse? What if the woman was the wealthy European woman? What if the guy was the poor guy working in the hotel? Do they bring the same charge so quickly? I'm wondering if that is a racial or class issue there.
Philip, thank you. Jamie, there are racial and class issues
all
over this story.
Yes.
Where do you enter?
Well, it's so complicated, and I think it clouds our judgment in journalism and the way we cover these cases. I think it also, unfortunately, compromises the way the cases are charged. Sometimes we are too quick to charge and too quick to dismiss, and it was the case here, I think. And I think it is also implicated in the way we react to the dismissal of the charges. Yes, class and race have always been a big part of the complicating factors, especially when we talk about the rape issue. Rape and race are two of the most difficult topics of conversation in America today, and they remain so. And perhaps, Brian, one of the, I heard you use the phrase teachable moment with, or perhaps she used
it. That was
it,
Letitia
with the councilwoman.
James, yes, she said it.
She said it, and I think perhaps if anything good can come out of this, it is a conversation about the intersection of those two very, very difficult subjects.
By the way, just in from the courtroom, the judge has denied a request for a special prosecutor in the case. The housekeeper's lawyers had been asking for this to kind of start all over with a special prosecutor, but a judge has denied that request, apparently getting ready to dismiss the case altogether. And Will, a last thought from you on the teachable moment and whether you think it says anything about, you know, the plight of immigrants or low-income people working jobs like housekeeper in general, routinely faced with the temptation to tell a lot of little lies, like these financial lies and even some of the immigration sexual assault in her home country lie that she apparently told to get things that they need. I mean, is that showing too much sympathy, or is that underlying issues that need to be addressed?
No, I think the chilling effect is worth addressing, and it's worth preventing if we can do so. And that is, it's one thing for the prosecutors to say, if we take this woman into a court of law with some of the discrepancies in her statements, the defense is going to shred her. That's a social claim. That's a legal claim. That may be true, okay, and I think it probably is true. But it's another thing for them to trash her credibility and her motives and to accuse her of being a serial liar with seeking financial gain. And if that message gets out, which is not at all substantiated, in my opinion, by the evidence that they presented in this motion, then women really will be chilled that the prosecutors will go after them and their character, and that would be a terrible lesson.
All right. People will think what you will. The official dismissal expected in about an hour in a lower Manhattan courtroom. We thank Will Salatan, national correspondent for Slate, and its Free Country blogger, legal analyst Jamie Floyd. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can continue the conversation on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Coming up next, Governor Christie's approach to renewable energy. Stay with us.